Hello?
Regina, welcome to Science Thursday.
Hi,
this is Jordan.
Jordan, welcome to Science Thursday.
Hi, this is Jordan.
Is that Jordan?
What's up?
Zach, I invited Regina and Jordan to Science Thursday.
Hi, this is Jordan.
What's up, guys? I had the track queued up for the intro.
Do you guys don't have to. I actually just like invited you to this call like on a whim. This is what I do because John actually was supposed to do the show with me. John Lagomarsino, you know him. And he canceled, so I thought I'd try you guys.
Yeah, I'm here, but I thought like my recurring gag was kind of just to be like, well, I'm at work, and then hang up.
Oh.
Is that what I'm supposed to do?
Yeah, you could do that.
That's cool.
Unless you want to stay on.
Like, I am at work. And I'm not a science expert, but...
You're not. Okay.
I could try, you know?
Well, we're not science experts either. We just kind of...
Cool.
We're really topical.
Do you guys want to talk about science? You don't have to stay, but I invited you in case you wanted to.
Sorry, that's me. My bad. I'm trying to recover a file.
Oh, Jordan, we lost Jordan.
Yeah.
Let's get
that's
Jordan.
That's kind of a good way. It's a good way.
Well, no, he messaged me.
Oh.
Yeah, you don't have to stay, Reg. I called you guys thinking you wouldn't answer.
Cool. So I'm going to hang up.
But I mean, if you want to stay,
but everyone
I would
else,
like you to stay, but I honestly
everyone else should
was...
stay. If you're listening to this podcast now, it's going to be a whirlwind of science and electrons and data. So, you know, get ready.
Cool. I'm going to stay and I'll let you know if I'm going to hang up.
Okay.
Cool.
Sweet.
What are you up to right now? Just out of curiosity.
I mean, I can answer. It's not science related, but I lost this file from an Atomos recorder and I've been trying to recover it for a couple of days. And I finally did this like one last ditch effort scan. And it was working, but it took 12 hours. I started it 12 hours ago.
Whoa.
No, not 12 hours. 24 hours. And it just finished. But if you heard that really loud static noise, that was what happened with it. So it's not a great sign.
It sounded like science to me.
Yeah.
It kind of, it's data science.
You know.
Speaking of lost data, Anchor lost our recording from the other day. We recorded like a 2-hour podcast and they lost the
data. Really? Are you allowed to talk about it on Anchor? Do you think that they're going to blacklist you and so that your shows don't get promoted in their algorithm anymore?
That's our suspicion. I'm glad you're on the same page.
Yeah. We have a feeling that we've been targeted for months.
Damn.
Yeah. It's tough, like, because we usually talk shit like every podcast, so... We think that we're flagged, and it was an awesome podcast. There were so many good laughs, and there were ups and downs, but
it was emotional. It was raw. It was real.
Yeah, it sounds like
they lost it.
You should have a reality show.
It basically
was.
I think
that's what you're supposed to do with emotional, raw feelings.
All right. Well, I'm going to try to get Jordan back on the line, actually.
Cool.
We're going to restart the show. Do you want to get restart at the beginning?
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea. What kind of science stuff are we going to talk about?
Probiotics.
These are just the most...
Sucking carbon out of the air. Dolphin algorithm could lead to better ultrasounds.
I mean, the breakdown of the show is we're just talking about current events in science, talking about the big articles in the news, and we're just... Doing a little background and dropping our 2 cents.
I'm talking about the marshmallow test this week. If you heard about the marshmallow test thing. All right. Well, that you're going to find out. I mean, you know, it sounds like you got your hands full. Maybe we should just.
She's down to do it. All right. Let's do it.
All right. We're going to restart. I'm going to call Jordan back to see if he can be on. Okay.
If you don't answer, that means that you didn't want to do it. So.
Hey, and we're back. Thanks. We just took a little break there, and we got Jordan on the line. Jordan. We got any Jordans here?
Hey, how's it going?
Was that a seltzer opening?
Oh, yeah.
I knew it.
You know, nothing like cracking open a cold black cherry seltzer.
Canada Dry?
No, it's a Schweppes.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So we have Regina and Jordan joining us this week for Science Thursday, and I'm glad you could be here. This is a show where I just look through the – I have a Feedly. You know how I was saying a couple weeks ago, I was like, what kind of stuff do you use instead of Feedly? Because, like, I don't know what people use anymore for RSS stuff. So I just set up an RSS feed that's just, like, science stuff, and then I pick my favorites, and then we talk about it.
Okay.
You guys hear any science news this week yourself?
Hello?
The docket, there's like a lot of climate science this week. Zach, are you here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know. I was just making sure. There's like a lot of climate news this week, actually. Did you guys see the big news that I've seen that I just saw today, actually? Did you hear this one? Sucking carbon dioxide from the air is cheaper than scientists thought. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, actually, I did just read that article about 20 minutes ago.
Pretty crazy, right?
Yeah. It's well, first off, it's like, I didn't – can you hear me?
Yeah.
We got a weird connection going here. What the fuck, Anchor?
Anchor.
Is there any way to make it Jordan? Non-speakerphone?
I plugged my headphones.
Plug in some headphones.
Did that fuck it up? Like, it was when I plugged in my headphones that I started having these weirdo-ish.
It's usually better with the headphones, I would say.
Yeah. Because then you don't have, like, the audio of us in the room.
But, I mean, we did just lose our best podcast ever, so who knows what's going on over at Anchor Headquarters, because I don't.
Yeah, fuck John, you know?
I don't know John. I think John's probably a cool guy, but fuck Anchor.
He's not.
Okay, well...
I was just saying, Jordan, are you getting some headphones?
Ow. Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there any way to turn this off of speakerphone?
Usually if you plug in headphones, then the speakerphone goes away.
Yeah, okay. Well, so here's the thing, though. I can't find my dongle.
Oh,
yeah, I know.
Apple.
Dongle life.
Classic. Here we go.
Yeah, I mean,
the Apple ones sound pretty good. Should I just use these?
Are you at home or are you at Bloomberg? I'm like 8 minutes away from you. I can drop off a dongle, you know?
I'm at home.
Cool. I'll be there. Yeah,
dongle transport.
Oh, wait, just tie a dongle to a brick, throw it through the window.
Yeah, I'm at Genius right now, but I'm leaving soon.
All right, hang on. I bought a bunch of dongles. I just can't find them.
So to all the new listeners out there, I'm just going to go ahead and fill them in. This is the show where we take the top science news stories, well, the ones that we're interested in, and we talk about them, give a little context, and, you know, just talk about how we feel about them, how maybe they will affect us, and just, you know, put it out there in the world. Because there's a lot of science that we found, and there's stuff happening all the time. Like, it's crazy.
I was saying before a couple episodes ago, like, it takes me hours and hours to scrub through all these stories that I just skip, like hundreds and hundreds of stories. And this is only within like a few hours. Scientists are constantly publishing whatever bullshit from whatever bullshit field.
I mean, is it bullshit? I don't know.
What do you think are the most bullshit fields?
Well, okay, you want me to actually read you a few? Like, I'll just read you.
Okay, well, before you do that, I will say that, like, we feel like, you know, they come out with a study, and then, like, 2 months later, they're like, we were wrong.
So. Yeah. Well, like, I'll just read you. you can be like, skip, skip, skip. Like, okay, ZTE may have been saved, but its plight could strengthen China's... I don't know.
I don't even know what ZTE is.
Move to renewables, a good thing, Nationals, little David Little Proud says. Yeah, what? New laser makes silicon sing. I don't know.
Ooh, I like that.
It does sound good. But like, there's like a lot of stuff. Blood test might predict pregnancy, due date, and preterm birth. That is actually pretty cool.
Wait, blood tests don't there's already a lot of good predict news. That?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Cattle may spread leptospirosis in Africa, study suggests.
Well, what do you got? Did you have anything ready to go?
Bees understand the concept of zero. Like, what does that even
mean? What? No, read that article to me.
Do you want to?
I find that hard to believe. I never thought bees would understand.
I don't think I understand the concept of zero.
Usually I like to like read these first before, but like I'll read it. Like, I didn't even read this one because I was like, I don't fucking think that's true. I just straight up didn't even believe that. Like,
what kind of here, what is that in?
Summary. Scientists have concept of zero. Club of clever the abstract mathematical.
Yeah, that's just going right over my head.
Yeah.
Used to learn. They found out do it. They were trained image with the lowest number of elements in order to receive a reward of sugar solution. For the example, bees learn to choose three elements when presented with 3 versus 4, and two elements when presented with 2 versus 3. And then when they presented the bees with no elements versus an image that had one or more, the bees understood that zero was a lower number, despite having never been exposed to an empty set. So that's why. I mean, does that sound like bees understand zero to you? That kind of doesn't to me either.
No. And when they have nothing.
Yeah. Sorry, you broke up there a bit.
Yeah,
Reg, what's going on? Are you walking outside right now?
Uh-oh.
Oh, frick, we lost Reg.
Oh, no.
Are you able to I don't know what's going on.
Or do we have to start all over again?
No. Nah. We're gonna keep chugging along, but I will say the connection today is absolute fucking garbage.
Anchor's got a lot of problems, and this is just one more.
They're just trying to get us out of here. They're like, all right, we'll slowly keep fucking with them.
And just make it just uninhabitable. So, I don't know. What do you think? Was that really, in my opinion, bees don't understand nothing?
I'll be honest.
They understand. I don't know if that means they understand the zero. I don't know. I'll believe the scientists.
Again, we're not scientists. But we're just speculating here. But I think that we collectively think that bees do not understand zero.
I mean, they're smart. Sounds like they're pretty clever. But I don't think that means that they understand the concept. Maybe they do.
All right, fuck this. Let's move on.
Ryan.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to talk about the carbon dioxide
stuff? We should. But did you see the breaking news from NASA about the discovery on Mars?
Oh, that there's microbes on Mars?
Well, they discovered, quote, tough organic molecules in 3 billion-year-old sedimentary rocks near the surface, as well as seasonal variations in the levels of methane in the atmosphere.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
They say, quote, I'm confident that our ongoing and planned missions will unlock even more breathtaking discoveries on the red planet. So, I guess the speculation is, like, this could be some sort of proof of ancient life.
Yeah, at least, like, microbial, right?
Well, I was going through the Reddit comments on this one, and somebody pointed out that the use of the word organic doesn't necessarily mean life. It just means organic chemistry. So, it just could mean, like, the building blocks of life.
Yeah.
Which it's still, you know, crazy and interesting. but it's like, you know, much further away than.
Yeah. I recently heard there's like a, I forget which moon, one of the moons of Saturn, they sampled it. They sampled a geyser. It was like shooting out water out of it into space. And as like satellite flew by, they sampled the water and there was organic matter in there too.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, I had no idea. Like, I thought that would have been bigger news. Like, it's not exactly aliens, but it's kind of aliens. Mm-hmm. But pretty cool. Yeah, that is big.
Do you think, you guys think that in our lifetime we will see proof of intelligent alien life?
I want to say yes, but I feel like no. I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, my thing is, like, look at the advancements that we've made in the last 50 years, or the last 100 years, right? It's, like, our ability to, like, detect things out into space is only going to, like, get exponentially greater. So I think we will, like, detect things and see things that we will then have debates about as to whether or not they are truly extraterrestrial, or if they're just some sort of natural astronomy occurrence. You know what I mean? Like, I think that there will be a lot of that stuff, but in terms of getting a phone call and being like, hey, what's up, guys, we're aliens, like, I seems pretty far-fetched.
I would agree with that. Yeah, that's a pretty fair
I want it to be true, though, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I think everyone does.
I also think that if it had already happened, Donald Trump would have spilled the beans on Twitter at this point about it. So,
yeah. You think they would have told him about the aliens?
I mean, I don't know. You'd like to think there's that meeting they have right after inauguration, you know.
Oh, yeah. That would be the only reason I'd run for president. Seems like a bad job otherwise, but I do want the secret knowledge.
Right.
Yeah, is there actually like a meeting like after the inauguration? Is that like a real thing? Or
I believe there is a briefing. Yeah.
Okay.
And they say aliens are real, or
they
not.
Just
that's what everyone, like, that's the rumor what about it. Twitter.
Everyone just unzips like their skin, and they're like, "Hey,
surprise." I don't know. Yeah, I think aliens are going to be so different from us that it's going to be really hard to even recognize what is like them and what is like a trace or like communication from them.
Right. Yeah.
That's what you were saying, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be there's going to be debates about whether it is aliens.
And I think that like something like that would be really good for humanity. Like, if we were presented with something that like we just don't understand on like a scientific or like a molecular level, where it's like, this thing is so different than anything we've ever seen before. I think that the conversations that come out of that, I mean, at first it'll be messy, but like, I think ultimately, you know, it'll be very, good for science. Right. Can you imagine if just like something just showed up that was like, we just couldn't make heads or tails of it. Not as convenient as aliens showing up, but just like, I don't know.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I was just reading this book about time, about that time doesn't exist and that it only really happens in our head. So I'm like, I don't even think, how can we be convinced that aliens out there are going to really even be in the same like dimension of like, you know, we only experience a small part of actual reality, and it's just like this weird slice in time and space. So I just think people say that they're already among us. We just can't see them because we're only tuned into some frequencies of the entire spectrum.
Do you think that like all the, like I've done a pretty deep dive on like the alien conspiracy theory, like YouTube vids and like all the stuff from like the 90s. And like, what do you think that's about? Do you think that that's just people who are telling stories for the sake of telling stories? Like, you think would...
I don't know. Yeah, I know, right? Like, what are these things? I don't know. It's like the X-Files say, I want to believe.
Right.
I'll hear anybody's UFO story, and I'll be, like, on the edge of my seat. Like, tell me more. I've talked to some people who've said they've had UFO experiences. Like this one camera guy I was shooting with one time, we were driving through like the Mojave Desert. He's telling me about how he was driving his truck and all of a sudden a classic silver disc-shaped UFO about the size of just zips next to him and is just cruising next to him on the side of the road. And I was wow. like, "That it's like," and he said he was on no drugs. You know, he was totally mm-hmm. sober. It's like, am I supposed to not believe those people when they tell me that they saw a literal flying saucer, like cruise next to them, then zip off into like speeds? Were they really just imagining that? I do believe people's brains have the capacity to simulate things like that to like really fool you. I think that that's like, it's been proven people can be kind of crazy and just see things that aren't there. So I guess that's where I go to. Like, it's probably that.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to believe something whenever you've never experienced anything like magical like that happen to you before.
Yeah, I've never seen a ghost. I've never seen an alien.
Yeah.
I don't have any magic in my life.
I don't know. I mean, I'm a pretty big skeptic, so I just don't think that my brain would even like allow me to believe something like that. I think I would try to rationalize it and be like, okay, that was, I don't know.
One time I thought I was seeing aliens. I was so psyched. I was like, this is it. I'm seeing them. Yes. And there were these like weird lights in the sky that were moving in just like the weirdest ways at like incredible speeds. And I was like, what the fuck? And then after like everybody else on it was this like back porch of somebody's house and we were all looking at it and they were just convinced they were UFOs. Everyone was dazzled. We were just having an ecstatic time because we were seeing aliens.
Everyone's like, woo, and we did it.
Yeah. We were like, I can't explain it. This has gotta be it. We were filming it with our, this is like around like 2006. So we were filming it with our Razor phones. And then I just like realized I looked down off the side of the building and I could see these lights that were just like pointing upward. And it was just lights lighting up a bunch of like bugs and moths that we thought were these crafts way off in the distance, but they were tiny bugs only feet in front of us.
Damn.
So I feel like it's just like a lot of stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could go on all day about aliens, but you know, let's get into the hard science here.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about the carbon dioxide filter?
I don't know what that is, so yeah.
It's just so like one of the ways they think they want to fight global warming or has been proposed is just to suck the carbon dioxide out of the air and just like bury it.
Bury it, really?
And just like have it not in the air anymore. Put it somewhere.
Yeah.
Store it somewhere. Like I've heard the idea of just collecting it and then sending it to the bottom of the ocean. That like this one scientist was like, yeah, it'll just stay there. You don't really have to bury it.
What?
Like, oh, really? Yeah.
That doesn't sound like a good idea.
Well, so the other thing, yeah, there's some ins and outs of this. One, there's not like one of the major uses for carbon dioxide is actually to get more oil out of the ground. So I'm not exactly sure how it works, but CO2 is used in oil extraction. So presumably they could sell this at a profit to, you know, get more fossil fuels.
Sell basically the poop of the oil industry back to the oil industry.
Right. And you know, I think one, again, this is off of a Reddit comment, but somebody said this guy did the math and he's like, the world produced 36 billion metric tons of CO2 in 2015. That means, based mm-hmm. on the math in on this, you know, carbon sucker, it would cost $3.6 trillion to break even for that year. So, like, it's cheaper than they thought, but, like, it's still pretty expensive.
Yeah, like the headline is, it used to cost $600 to pull a metric ton of CO2 from the atmosphere, and now it costs between $94 and $232.
About that, like the future of the human species, like that's a bargain.
Yeah.
But also, like, isn't CO2 is only part of the problem, right? There's like methane, there's nitrogen, there's all sorts of other nasty stuff.
Good question. I thought it was like maybe sort of simple. Like this is a good step at
no,
least.
I'm make the mistake. Like I'm all for these. What do they call them? Iterative steps, or you know, interim mm-hmm. steps. Like we gotta start walking before we start running. Start figuring this stuff out now. But I, you know, there needs to be a motivation for this stuff beyond just governments mandating it. Because if we're looking at a $3.6 trillion bill to suck out cost. 1 year,
yeah.
1 year, and that was in 2015. So it's like, I don't even know. Is our CO2 expenditure still going up? I don't know.
I just don't even know why we're like, if we all agree that we need to do this, why are we even making it a part of the economy?
Because we,
like,
cause
why
we don't
are we putting a price on.
Because we don't all agree it's something we need to do. That's the problem.
Yeah, it is the problem.
You know, it's like it's still up for debate. We had I was in a Lyft ride last week, and we had a conversation with a driver, and like he just started going off about how he didn't believe in climate change. And it was just like, dude, it was very frustrating. And we made some very valid points, in my opinion, and he just wasn't having any of it.
It's people don't want
to
believe.
At a certain point, you're just like, I don't know how to... I mean, if we can't agree on facts, like...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's like, there's a lot of, you know... controversy about it in the scientific community. I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure like 98% of scientists agree around the world. Like, this is a thing.
Yeah, yeah, everyone does. It's like, it's just because it would cost too much money for them to believe it.
Well, I mean, there's a ton of money to be made in it, too. It's like...
Yeah, oh, by ignoring
well,
it.
Well, no, I mean, yeah. No, by... If you can...
Oh, by acknowledging
it? Yeah, by acknowledging it and getting it, you know what I mean? Like...
I feel like that's what why people are skeptical of it, because then it's like a marketing term, like green products. It's like the people's fear of the world ending can like sell them a product that they think is better for the earth. And I feel like that's what the skeptics look at that whole thing.
Yeah. I don't know. But, I don't know what the solution is, but I definitely think that, you know, if we got to build build some of these CO2 suckers.
For some reason, though, it's because like all there's no tactile evidence of global warming. Like they see the polar bears dying, they see the ice. Like there's, but in most people's like world, nothing much has changed. And unfortunately, people like we said about fucking aliens, people aren't going to believe in climate change until they're experiencing it themselves.
So I get the Google app has a like a notification setting, and I think it's like the single. It's the single most useful thing I have on my phone, believe it or not. But every night, it varies. I don't know how it when it decides to do this, but it sends me a notification, and it says, "Hey, the weather, you know, the temperature tomorrow is this. It's going to be this much, this many degrees hotter or colder than it was today." And that's perfect because it's mm-hmm. like, "Oh, I have a benchmark. I can feel the benchmark right now, and it's going to be hotter or colder than this." It's phenomenal, yeah. Right? And like. The temperature swings recently have been like 18 degrees colder, 20 degrees hotter from a day-to-day basis. And that's like, it's not just a few times. It's like, it's happening consistently now. And it's like, I don't ever remember being like that. Maybe it's just now that maybe I'm just seeing it now because I see a number attached to it. But I definitely feel like here in New York, it's like getting super hot and then like chilly and then super hot again within a matter of a day. It's not like, you know, there's no run up or run
down. So in your mind,
I would say that it is. It's kind of been the same here in Los Angeles, but I was just like assumed that's kind of normal, like just not being from here. But people that live here, say, yeah, like they do say, like you know, it's been like really pretty cold, like compared to other years, and I don't know all the fucking like crazy all like I mean like all the rain we had and stuff like there like we that like. Pushed us like out of the drought. I mean, that's kind of I don't know. It's got to say something.
Yeah, they said that one of the markers of global or climate change is that weathers will be more extreme, right? Like just dramatic transitions, right? And higher highs, lower lows, things like that, right? So you're saying this temperature, your app, you feel like you do have a direct contact with climate change at the moment.
You know, like I said, I don't...
Might be real, might not
I don't know. No, I mean, climate change is definitely real. But I don't know if...
But yeah. I mean, no, like, you, yeah, what you're experiencing may or not just be, like, an anomaly.
I mean, I've lived in New York for 7 or 8 years now, and this definitely feels, you know, it's like we're almost in the middle of June now, and it feels like it's San Francisco out here. You know, it's just, I don't know, maybe that's normal, but I feel like it's different.
Yeah, one of the problems with climate change is that it's like slight changes over like a long mm-hmm. period, so it's just hard to detect. So yeah, those might just be, you might be seeing climate change, or that might just be a weird
year. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Why don't we just do it? it says, assuming that CO2 is buried to offset vehicles' emissions of gas, a price of $100 per ton would add about 22 cents to the price of a liter of fuel. So gas prices could go up just like a little bit, and then we could offset cars pretty easily.
Wow. I don't know. I think burying that kind of shit is just going to cause other issues. We're going to have like fucking bunch of volcanoes just popping up all over the place.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, volcanoes are blowing up everywhere these days. So, I mean,
I don't know. But you're right. There might be another unintended consequence from burying.
I mean, there probably is, but.
Do you want to hear? Do you want to hear some? More climate news, actually. The judge orders EPA to produce science behind Pruitt's warming claims.
What are we talking about?
And the head of the EPA, unsurprisingly appointed by Johnald, says that climate change is not humans' fault. Mm. And they're not going to, like, obey. Here, I'll just read this a little bit. EPA must produce... The opposing body of science, Administrator Scott Pruitt, has relied upon a claim that humans are not the primary drivers of global warming, a federal judge has ruled. Well, the EPA boss has so far resisted attempts to show the science backing up his claims. Critics say no such evidence exists, even as Pruitt has called for greater science transparency at the agency. Now, a court case may compel him to produce research that attempts to contradict the mountain of peer-reviewed studies collected by the world's top science agencies over the decade that show humans are warming the planet at an unprecedented pace through the burning of fossil fuels. So yeah, he's just like, nah, it's not our fault. And they're like, well, yeah, show us the proof.
Show your work. So,
and yeah, they're just like,
I mean, is this gonna actually like result in anything? Like, are they gonna pull up alternative facts? Like, what do you think is gonna actually come of this?
I don't think anything is gonna come of it. They're just gonna be like, these are facts, and like they'll just continue to like just be like no, and then yeah. I mean, I think I'm just gonna believe Pruitt on this one. I mean, it's not our fault.
Yeah, but just letting you know, that's a big thing happening along the same in the same news.
I mean, I'm just. Go ahead, Jordan.
No, sorry. I was going to change the subject.
Yeah, I'm down for that.
Well, speaking of the EPA, they are actually, you know, hot on the trail of... Are you guys familiar with Chip and Joanna Gaines of... I got to go. I got a phone call. Hang on. Let me just finish this story. You guys are familiar with Chip and Joanna Gaines? The TV show?
Yes.
Yeah, they have a show, Fixer Upper, on HGTV. The EPA is fining them $40,000 because on one of the episodes they mishandled lead paint.
Damn.
So the EPA is doing something, and it probably involves watching a lot of cable television.
Well, good for them. Glad to see they're working hard and... Yeah. Watching some good quality television.
What did they do wrong?
They allegedly violated the Toxic Substance Control Act of lead renovation, repair, and painting rule, which is related to home renovations conducted without adequate lead paint protections.
Do they do this all a lot of shows or something, or just one?
I think it's just one.
They probably just like didn't have like yeah they probably like didn't have like I don't know like I'm sure they were wearing like, masks and
The games work on 33 properties were the focus of the EPA investigation. So
wow. So he was like consistently showing people the wrong way to handle like lead paint. Yes. That's pretty bad.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a very popular show. So.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you for joining us for Science Thursday. Appreciate it. Let me know if you want to be back on next week. Sure. I love that you brought some of your own science to the table.
Sure. Yeah. No, science. Science is good.
You love science.
Yeah. No, just give me a call. I will always answer the phone for That's All Folks.
Thanks. Later, right, Jordan.
See you guys.
Later.
So
let's keep chugging along here. Let's get something a little bit. Do we have anything? I feel like I just don't have any input on like these things. I just don't know anything. I'm just looking for jokes, really.
Let me look. Let me see. Oh, I got a listening to gut noises could improve diagnosis of irritable bowel syndrome.
All right. I can definitely see how that would work.
So I guess now to get diagnosed for IBS, you have to get blood tests and poop tests. You can imagine, you know, it's irritable bowel syndrome. Mm-hmm. Probably need blood and poop and all kinds of other stuff. And I guess it's annoying. So they're like, well, utilizing newly adapted artificial intelligence, researchers have developed an acoustic belt that offers a new way to diagnose irritable bowel syndrome by listening to the noises in a patient's gut.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so like sort of just like it's kind of I sort of have a theme in this, my stories this week, which is that algorithms and like artificial intelligence, you know, in quotes, like whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Is looking at huge data sets and then able to see patterns that we don't see, just like, hey, this is something that's so I guess my assumption is that they found somebody with irritable bowel syndrome, or a lot of people fed those into a machine and were like, this is what irritable bowel syndrome sounds like.
Yeah.
And now they put this belt on people. Yeah, let me read you. In this preliminary study...
So do we have research... any audio examples? I'd love to hear some.
No, actually.
Yeah. Just like, yeah, so, I mean, I basically took, like, these, you know, these guttural, like, samples, and, like, I threw a beat on it, and that was kind of like... It's a concept album about dealing with IBS.
That's Kanye's next album. It's just all his IBS recorded through this belt. In this preliminary study, researchers developed a basic prototype belt that uses machine learning techniques to identify complex features and patterns of the sounds collected from within the abdomen. They recruited study participants with an existing clinical diagnosis of IBS or with a healthy digestive systems, and participants wore the belt, and their bowel sounds were recorded for 2 hours post-fasting, and then for 40 minutes after a standardized meal.
Mm.
So they got a couple hours of gut sounds, and then they come back and they're like, you either have it or you don't. It's like a fingerprint for IBS.
I mean, it sounds like a relatively quick and dirty way to find out.
Is it easier to give blood? I don't know. I mean, it's pretty cool.
In the
though.
Long scheme of things, it's probably cheaper.
Yeah, it's less invasive. That's like one of the things people are happy about. And I guess, you know, it seems easier. Even though I feel like, what, do you have to go to the doctor for a couple hours, sit there, and then like eat a meal? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how they'll implement this, but cool invention. Funny.
Yeah. Interesting.
Dolphin algorithm. I'll just go, these are the three. My three like AIs looking at big data sets. A dolphin algorithm could lead to better medical ultrasounds. Millions of years of evolutionary fine-tuning have made dolphins phenomenally good at using echolocation to orient themselves, to find food, communication with one another, but how do they do it? New research shows that they emit two intertwined ultrasound beam components at different frequencies with a slightly different timing.
Say that? Wait, so, go ahead.
So, like, you know how dolphins, like, we know how dolphins work?
Yeah.
Like, they shoot a beam, like, beam, right, right. And then, like a bat, the sound wave bounces back and hits that fat pad, I believe, like, on their forehead. There's, like, they have a special organ that, like, it's in their forehead that receives it, and that's sort of, like, they incorporate their eyes and that to navigate the world. So let me read this. Initially discovered that ultrasounds that dolphins emit for echolocation do not consist of one signal, but rather two beam components a few years ago. So they thought it was just one, pew, but actually it's pew, pew. It's two, one higher, one lower, all very close together, but two different frequencies. And the most recent, so they developed a mathematical algorithm which was used to successfully disentangle and read the overlapping signals. And now they're going to use that same algorithm that disentangles those signals to make ultrasound devices to look inside our bodies that work with way more definition. It could potentially be used to measure the thickness of organ membranes deeper inside the body, for which current methods are insufficient. Another possible improvement is sonars and echo sounders, equipment used for orientation at sea level. So they basically like, wow, dolphins are really cool in this really weird way, and we can make our ultrasound equipment work the same way and maybe get better resolution, like, imagery of inside of bodies.
I'm just picturing, like, you know, they have, like, these tanks in, like, offices with dolphins in them, and they're, like, they just go up to the tank, and the dolphins, like, shoot their rays at them, and they just, like, measure it. You know, I'm just like it's like a dolphin with, like, a lab coat.
Oh wait, it's like a dolphin. The dolphin's the ultrasound.
Yeah, equipment. It's just in, like, it just like hangs out there.
Wasn't there? Hold on a second. I swear there was like some story about this woman who had cancer, and this dolphin was, like, shooting its echolocation at her tumors, and she was like, oh my god, whatever. I don't want to spread bad fake news, but I remember hearing that
a couple years ago. I like the sound of that. What was that? Yeah. On?
But Google it. I'm pretty sure there was some, I just Googled it. Dolphin discovers a woman's cancer. Yeah. I remember the rumor. It was kind of crazy. So maybe they are seeing inside of our bodies with their echolocation, and then they're like, that doesn't look good.
Probably. They, like, hit you with an echolocation, like, looks like you got a McDouble in there. You might want to chill out on the fast food.
Here's another, like, similar vibe on, like, using, like, algorithms in artificial intelligence. Mobile app for autism screening yields useful data. A new study of an iPhone app to screen young children for signs of autism has found the app easy to use, welcomed by caregivers, and good at producing reliable scientific data. The app's first administrators, caregiver consent forms and survey questions, and then the phone's selfie camera to collect videos of the children's while they watch movies designed to elicit emotion and attention and on the device's screen. So kind of they use the phones, they show them, like, videos. It's an app that shows the kids videos, and then the videos of the child's reactions are sent to study servers, which are automatic behavioral coding software tracks the movement of the landmarks on the child's face and quantifies the child's emotion and attention. For example, in response to a short movie of bubbles floating across the screen, the video coding algorithm looks for movements of the face that would indicate joy. Isn't this kind of bonkers?
I'm
like super. Well, there's, like, all these, like, AI things going on right now where they're like, oh, we can just look at somebody's face and tell whether they're gay or straight. And usually they're like, the database that they're using is, like, biased. Or it's just like they sort of, like, code in bias so that they, I don't know. It's like these really arbitrary things that they're like, yeah, we built like this AI that can detect whether like people's whether you're gay or straight. It's just weird. It's like it's sort of like phrenology, if you remember that.
Yeah.
Back from like the times of the early 1900s where they were like, oh yeah, here's the part of your brain that where you're like communicative and here's your musical part of your brain, and they would measure like white people's heads and then like
right
black people's heads, and they would be like, oh yeah, see, this is why they're inferior. And so it was like a whole bogus science that was like had bias built into it. So that's why I'm skeptical of things like this, but you know, maybe not. So it's kind of crazy. It's just videos that will just like sort of the belt, the IBS belt that analyzes your gut sounds. This analyzes kids' facial reactions to bubbles and stuff and says whether they have autism.
I mean, it seems like it's pretty legit. I don't think that, that seems to make perfect sense to me. I don't know.
I mean, they said they're doing it along with like a questionnaire that they're with their parents and a bunch of other things. It's not like it's just this video.
Right.
It's a bunch of other things. And then the video is just one of those things. So I'm like, sure, go ahead. But I'm squinting my eyes a little bit because I've seen things lately and usually they have like bias. Some sort of like unfair bias, but maybe not. Look, I don't know.
That's the beauty of science. It's ever changing. Listen to this. The oldest known footprints left by an animal have been uncovered in southern China.
See that?
The identity of the creature that made the 546 million year old tracks is still unknown, but they have come from a period when the earliest animals are thought to have evolved. The fossils consist of two rows of imprints that represent the earliest known record of animals of an animal with legs. Team members are unclear whether the creature had two legs or several, but they say the tracks probably belong to a bilaterian. This group of animals characterized by having paired appendages, in this case perhaps paired legs, and it kind of looks like a parallel line, like where the footprints look to be like they walked. So I don't know. I feel like every week we're just seeing like people being like, oh shit, like this is way older than we originally thought. Like it's
yeah, that's really cool. How older? How much older?
It doesn't actually say. I don't know. Let me hold on. The trackways were found by Yangzi Jorges. That's probably not how you pronounce it if he's a Chinese guy. Actually, he's probably not Chinese. He's in China. Yangzi Gorges, I'm going to say Jorges. The rocks, they come to are dated between 551 million and 541 million years old. Here's a quote here. Previously identified footprints are between 540 and 530 million years old. The new fossils are probably up to 10 million years older. Okay, there it is.
Pretty good.
He added, at least three living groups of animals have paired appendages, represented by arthropods such as bumblebees, annelids such as bristle worms, and tetrapods such as humans.
This is the first land animal?
It says just oldest. It just says the oldest known footprints left by an animal. I mean, I don't think they're gonna see footprints in a.
So this is just like everything. This is the first step out of the ocean.
Yeah. So I guess it's dating back to
one of the first.
Dating back to the Ediacaran period. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, but Ediacaran seems like.
You think it's Eukaryote? I don't know. Pretty crazy. I don't really have much to say about that.
No, it's pretty.
Science keeps blowing its own mind. It's like, holy shit, it's older than we thought. Holy shit.
I think
there's more here than we thought.
Yeah. It's just. I don't know. I think
this breaks all the rules.
Yeah, it's just easier to be like, hey guys, look what we found out, instead of like.
It's easier to feel like you already understand everything. I mean, that is the nice thing about scientists is at least ideally, they have it built into them that what they believe could be like totally upended at any second, as if the evidence is there.
Yeah.
And if they're a good scientist, which I bet it's so hard. Like if I were like Stephen Hawking and I had the whole black hole idea, and then one night I was crunching some numbers and I was like, oh fuck, black holes shouldn't exist. They're not real.
Mm-hmm.
I would have a hard time telling anybody that this whole thing that everyone knows me for black holes. Yeah, like it's not just sci-fi. This Stephen Hawking says black holes are real. It's a wormhole. You could get sucked into it. Go through time and space. They're crazy. They're real. All of a sudden, he's like, no, they're not. That would be hard to really come forward and say. But if you're a good scientist, be willing to forego everything you believe if evidence says otherwise.
Yeah. What else you got? What's next?
You know the marshmallow test?
No. What the hell is that? So, I know that I usually do about, you know, 8 to 10 minutes on a fire for my marshmallow, and then I test it, squeeze it, make sure it's good.
So the marshmallow test is this thing that was really famous. Let me see. Yeah, 1960s. It was developed in the 1960s by a Stanford psychologist. And they wanted to track how children went on to fare later in life. So they, at the heart, there's a study where they would put these kids age, let me see. I think I want to say like 5-ish. Age 3. Yeah. I think it's 3 to 5, but maybe it's 3. They put them in a room and they put a marshmallow in front of this 3-year-old and they say, you can eat this now, or if you can wait 15 minutes, I'll come back and I'll give you another one. And so if they're patient enough to wait the 15 minutes and get 2 marshmallows and not like lose their self-control.
I mean, 15 minutes is a long time for a kid.
Yeah. So a lot of people really went on to believe this was a good test of whether, so it's like, if you can delay your gratification, they say that that's like a display of willpower that will go on to benefit you in a million different ways throughout life. Like,
right. But biologically, I feel like it's just like, you need to eat that because like it's survival. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So ultimately, this was like a sort of like a psychology truth, like the marshmallow test. Yeah, it's pretty good. Marshmallow test's real. And people went on to do it to kids and actually treat kids differently based on their results in this test.
Huh.
So it was a big deal. And a lot of really ancient psychology like this is being retested these days with larger study groups and with more scrutinized look at diversity and stuff like that. And a lot of like big psychology truths are being just shattered.
Damn.
Much like this footprint. Like I remember I was so psyched on this idea that Snapchat could brainwash you because they make you smile to trigger the lenses, mm-hmm, you know,
right?
Like if certain lenses smile to like do a thing
or open your mouth, whatever.
And I was like, that's fucked up, because there's this really old psychology idea that if you smile, it actually releases a chemical in your brain that like ties that smile to happiness.
I'm smiling right now.
And that the more you, that smiling itself, just the action of smiling, can make you happier.
It's working.
And they did this, there's like this test where they like made people put like a pencil in their mouth so that they were just doing the posture of smiling.
Uh-huh.
And they were like, yeah, it made them happier, whatever. Mm. They went in with the assumption, sort of, that smiling makes, what if it makes you happier, just to smile? And then they had a small sample group, and they said, yeah, it's real. And people were like, wow, that makes sense. Pretty weird. Cool. It was just sort of then, it's why I knew, because it was like sort of like a knowledge in the psychology world. Like, wow, that's a weird thing. And like 2 years ago, they tested again, like, no, that's not real. And everybody's like, what? They just did it. There's so many of these big things that they're thoroughly testing and being like, it's not real. I was in talks with people to come out with like a video or an article that I was going to expose Snapchat for brainwashing people into being happier because they would say they would be like a Burger King lens that would come right on the screen and then you'd smile to just do the animation, to just have fun with the app. And then you would literally be sort of washed into associating happiness with a hamburger or something. I was like, that's a little bit, in my opinion, unethical. Then right at the time I was like gonna come out, like just start like making this video or something, that study came out that said this whole smiling that makes you happier is not true. this thing that we've taken as truth for so long,
I mean, like this I don't big know
sort of like, oh, that's interesting, is just not true. It's just folklore, psychological folklore.
Yeah, I mean, I think Burger King is more of a survival kind of a thing. I mean, if we're talking about spicy chicken from Wendy's, yeah, maybe that's going to bring some real happiness, but not Burger King. I'm sorry for any Burger King fans out there. I don't even
know. I'm just saying it could have been literally any product.
For years. You
know, name the product and in order to do the animation.
I know. I'm just...
Yeah. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. And today's episode is sponsored by Wendy's. Open late, so you can eat great even late. Dave Thomas.
Do you want me to tell you what happened to the marshmallow test? It was proved wrong, but what they found out is that the kids who delay gratification, that has nothing to do with like how much better you'll do in life. But that's not true. But the people that were able, yeah.
Hold on, could I guess? The people that were, that waited were just more able to have their minds altered by like they just had an easier, they were more easily persuaded by bribery.
Richer. What? So. They had a life where, like, if you wait, there will be food later. Where their logic is that poorer kids have to, like, seize the opportunity to eat because...
Well, that makes sense. That's, like, it goes back to my biological...
Yeah. Yeah. Survival. Like you said at the beginning, you got to eat that marshmallow. And for some kids, I guess the idea is, like, rich kids have so many resources that they don't feel... an urgency to eat it.
Yeah, I have to say, I have no idea. I mean, 3 years old, I guess you're just an animal, really.
Yeah. Interesting. I'll just read this paragraph. The failed replication of the marshmallow test does more than just debunk the earlier notion. It suggests other possible explanations for why poorer kids would be less motivated to wait for that second marshmallow. For them, daily life holds fewer guarantees. There might be food in the pantry today, but there might not be. So there's a risk that comes with waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And even if their parents promise to buy more of a certain food, sometimes that promise gets broken out of financial necessity. Yeah, so it's just like...
I have to say, I mean, I feel like we probably would have ate the marshmallow.
That's what I actually wanted to say. Is like my whole life, I never did the marshmallow test, but my whole life, when I've heard of the marshmallow test... I was like, I would fail that thing. I definitely would have failed it. No way.
Yeah. Yeah, we have too many siblings to, like, not eat the marshmallow because chances are the marshmallows are going to be gone.
I definitely ate whatever good things we had in the cupboards. I ate them as fast as I could.
Yeah.
Maybe you have 5 popsicles in a day.
Yeah.
If you don't have 5 popsicles in a day, you're going to only have 1 popsicle.
I mean, I fucking ate fruit snacks by the box. Freaking whole, like, 2 packs of Gushers. Freaking fruit by the foot. So good. I haven't had one of those in a while. I'm overdue for oatmeal cream pie.
I'm glad to see it go. Everyone on Twitter is celebrating. They're like, great. This is just, I knew it. I don't know if I have it. Do you want to end on some more, some good news, sort of? Some good news, some more sort what? Of.
Yeah.
Well, India will abolish all single-use plastic by 2022, vows Narendra Modi. I guess that's their president.
I don't know. I mean, isn't there like a fuck ton of like plastic garbage? Didn't someone drop this number on it? Was that was on the show that got deleted, I think.
About how much plastic there is?
Yeah,
I don't really somebody know. Said I can't really quantify it, but I can tell you that they haven't found a part of the ocean yet that doesn't have plastic in it. That's not just like there's not a plastic bag floating in or something.
Not like a random piece of trash.
And in addition to that, the plastic gets broken down into these microscopic just pieces of plastic. Just like, you know, imagine how microscopic pieces of plastic all over the ocean. And so that gets sucked into fish's gills and fucks them up really hard. Yeah. There were some whales that washed ashore, I don't remember where, but recently, but they were just full of plastic. It's really sad. So let me read this. This is a quote from Prime Minister Modi. "The choices we make today will define our collective future," said Modi on Tuesday. "The choices may not be easy, but through awareness, technology, and a genuine global partnership, I am sure we can make the right choices. Let's all join together to beat plastic pollution and make this planet a better place to live." So yeah, India, 1.3 billion people, huge population of the earth, says, but in how many years? It's 4 years, no single-use plastic, just everything's gone. No plastic bags. I guess you still have things that are multi-use.
Well, single-use plastic. Yeah, still
most of the plastic is fucking plastic bags, those grocery bags. So that's pretty good. That's a big deal. I mean, like we were saying earlier, it's like flipping baby steps about this stuff, but it's a good drag. Like, it's sick, though. People are like, you're insane. That's a really ambitious goal.
Yeah, I mean,
it's good.
I will say, I mean, I always bring my bags to the grocery store. Usually, like, once in a while, I'll forget or I just won't have them on me. But it was kind of an annoying thing to get used to. But it, like, literally took, like, 2 months. And I was like, okay, I get it. Like, it's just, you got to remember your bags. And it's, like,
I bring my book bag to the grocery store and I just fill that.
Yeah, I've done that too. But I do have like a couple like just bags that I use. But
I don't use the vegetable bags like when you're in the vegetable section. I don't even put my stuff in those. I don't know if that's weird, but I don't.
No.
I'm just like I think about the ocean, honestly. When I'm gonna grab one of those, if I need one, I think about the dang dolphins.
Mm-hmm. I used to do it, and I think within the last year somebody that I was with didn't do it, and I was like, that's kind of weird, but I'm like, I guess I don't really need, like, it's already dirty, I'm gonna wash it, it doesn't need to be in a fucking bag. So it does make sense, and I do care about the environment, about the earth, but
this is a real global
episode,
sort of.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Like, I used to litter, like, you know, in, like, high school and shit.
I don't...
But that was, like, before...
I don't think I ever littered. I always felt bad. I really liked Captain Planet.
Yeah, I definitely littered. I was kind of a jerk about it. But
not that I didn't. I would drop a straw wrapper here or there, you know, things like that. But I wasn't that bad.
Yeah, I threw a pizza box out the window in the car one time. Just want to get that one off my chest. But I feel like total crap about it, and like I don't know. I love like going to like the park, national parks, and stuff like that. And like whenever I see like litter there, like that really like really pisses me off. I saw a post from Yosemite that there was like a fucking whole pile of gloves at the base of Half Dome, where you go, because you have to use gloves because you're holding on to like the wires, because you're like, I don't know, like a very, you could fall. So they have like the wires that you hold on to on that part of the hike. And then people were just dropping their gloves at the end and just fucking leaving them there in a pile. And like, I guess like a bunch of squirrels like fucking chewed them up and shit. And it's like, they're just like, guys, just, you know, if you'd just, don't do that, like pack it in, pack it out.
I felt when we were in Yosemite, I felt honored, so honored to be there. I felt like, I've said it before, like I was in one of those little dioramas at the National History Museum or Natural History Museum. Like it feels like pristine nature, like idyllic in nature that you would see in paintings.
It's pretty, it feels so fucking clean and like pure, but I mean, you know, like obviously there's freaking restaurants and shit in there,
but not
so
all over. You go deep in the woods, there's nothing there. But I'm just saying, how can you get up
to Tuolumne.
How can you go into that environment and not be like struck by like, wow, this is amazing, and and if you, I guess they're just not struck by it enough to not litter. That's my only lot. Like maybe, I don't know. How can you litter in
maybe
something so
the fact that we're
saying, like, how can you obviously not see how wrong it feels or feel how wrong it feels?
I don't know. Maybe because it's the actual terrain is so like foreign to us, just like not being from anywhere where there's like actual huge mountains, that like we can like actually see it for what it is, as opposed to people that maybe grew up with that, with like, you know, going there and seeing it like their whole life. And it's just like, you know, that's just what it is. It's not like a glorified thing.
Are you looking at Yosemite pictures right now?
No, I'm not, but
I thought that, I thought you were like, I hear the clicking and I was just imagining you looking at like the falls, the trees.
No, I mean, we are, if you guys are still here, which you should be, we are trying to plan out a trip, trying to get a couple of wilderness permits. So if you have any suggestions on what parts that we should see, we've really just touched the surface as far as trails. I've maybe done 8 trails tops. Yeah.
So if you're listening to the show, you've been there, you saw a trail that you thought was unforgettable, drop us a mention somewhere.
Yeah. And if you, I kind of want to pack in our own, I kind of want to get our own bear cans, like instead of getting those enormous ones. Like I feel like we could get something that was the whole bear can thing kind of
was a real,
like,
turn off.
This is it. Yeah,
if you guys don't know, when you're in the woods and you're camping where there are bears, anything that smells at all, like including, I'm telling you, contact solution, which has a little bit of salt in it, and I guess bears are like, oh, I can't, I gotta have that. Like everything, like anywhere from food to toothpaste to contact solution has to go in a bear-proof barrel. That it's they can't break it open, but they can play with it. So if a bear does want to attack your food inside the bear barrel, it just turns into like a bear toy for a while. It's hard for them to really get a grip of, and so they'll just knock it around the forest.
There's got to be some alternatives. That's not so, like, there's got to be like a collapsible bear can, because like that was the real issue.
I think its strength comes from the big, thick piece of plastic or like metal.
I mean, you're probably right, but I mean, I guess
we strung a book bag up one day, and that felt fine, but.
Yeah, I mean, that really,
they say that the bears,
I mean, other places that I've
out,
been
so.
Yeah, other like places that I've been, like in the Smokies, they have like lines put up and you just hang, they have like wires and you just attach your bag. Mm-hmm. Everyone just attaches their bag and just puts it up, which I mean, I know that you can't do that in like everywhere because they don't have fucking cables to put up, but I think if you really did do what we did, just throw it up on a tree, then, well, as long as it's kind of farther away from the trunk that the bear can't like climb up and get it, I feel like it'd be fine.
Yeah.
But they were very strict about, you know, if you don't have a bear can, like, you fucking need a bear can.
Yeah, they were.
I don't know.
Still pretty science, but I would say, this sort of stuff. Respect the bears, guys.
Yeah, I mean, like, bears have, like, so they said they have the best scent in the animal kingdom, oh, right? Yeah.
I just can't get over the image of a bear, like, chugging contact solution. Being like, fuck yeah.
Yeah, like, imagine him chugging, like, the hydrogen peroxide kind. He, like, gets a little bit, he's like, oh, fuck, this guy. It's like, I've done that. It put it directly in my eyes. It's like the same thing, like same reaction, like, oh, fuck, like literally run around and like scream because it's just like the worst fucking pain.
So I think that about wraps it up for Science Thursday. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for Gina and Jordan for answering their call. I didn't warn them at all, and they just played along.
Yeah, that was a pleasant surprise. I'm bummed that I wasn't able to, because I had that fucking fat track at the beginning, and I had no idea that anyone else was going to be out.
Well,
so that's why.
Yeah, it worked out.
Should I bump the track to play it out?
Okay, well, at least, I don't know if we want to say anything else. If you like the show, rate it or something, or just, I don't know.
Just keep listening.
If you just listen, that's enough for me.
And check out, hopefully we'll have SEO Fry.
Oh yeah, Anchor.
SEO show.
Anchor lost week. SEO show, as you might have heard in the last episode. So we're going to see if Anchor recovers that. If so, look out for that.
Look out for that. It's a little bit quicker rolling, and we talk about anything and everything.
It gets real deep.
Not just science. It does get deep, but we try to hit all the important things from, like, you know, last
I don't want to hype it too days, much if it might be days. Lost forever, but it was good.
I mean, it wasn't really good, but there will be better episodes to come.
What was your favorite science?
Probably the dolphin stuff. I mean, it's always the animal stuff, really, for me. That was one of the only, like, really good news things. Although, I did actually like the acoustic belt. Yeah. Like, that was cool.
I guess I'm just glad the marshmallow test is gone. It's just a big relief, a big weight off my shoulders that I definitely would have failed the marshmallow test, and it doesn't mean, like, that I'm, like, a less evolved human or something. Like, in my back of my mind, I'm just like, yeah, I'm not fit for this world because I would have failed. Okay.
On that note. All right. Well, I'm going to play us out.
Thanks for listening.
See you next time.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.